and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the
faith
kingdom.
Must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Praise God. My scrotum was up. That's a testimony. My scrotum was up and now it was down. There are two testimonies in it. There are two testimonies from that one testimony. The testimony of the person who received the healing and the testimony of the person who ministered the healing. The one that gets a crown is the one that gave ministered the healing, not the one that received the healing. The one that received the healing is here. The one that ministered the healing is here. Do you know that the person that ministered the healing can have headache, but he's more in he can come in and trust God to be under the anointing to help another man experience freedom. Don't you know that the healing we are talking about was somebody else's pain? The other man had, he said, by his what? I'm looking for people who can take stripes for multitudes to be saved. Those are kingdom owners. That's why he was made king of kings and what? God has wealth. This whole earth belongs to him. He wants to move you to the mainstream of Nigerian economy. That 2 million you've been hanging around that you call money is nonsense. God wants to make you, if it's the calling to control the wealth of the, he has it big time. But there is a price. Can't you see that if he's free, like the preachers have been making, the whole church will be multi. It's not now. He said, those that suffer with him shall reign with him. Romans chapter 8 said, we are, the spirit has entered us crying out, but Father. That is the spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that spirit in us cries, Abba, Father. Why? Because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He now put the condition. So far we suffer with him, that we might reign with him. When you give your life to Christ, you are born an heir, a son, an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Condition for stepping into what you said is your inheritance is you have to suffer with him. It's a cross to carry. It's a cross to carry. He said, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross. There is a price to pay. That's the meaning. 21st century language for that. There's a price to pay. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure. But you won't start paying till you value it. Till you value it. You won't start paying till you get a sense of ownership. He sold all that he had. Have you ever sold anything to make the kingdom move? Have you ever given something that is very important to you, that you really need? I'm not talking about offering, or not talking about some of the things. If this thing has not cost you something, you are playing with Christianity. You don't know what Christianity is. The Bible you read said men sold land and houses and laid it. You are buying properties. The way you are buying property. Other people who have it, who have bought it before, sold it. This is what one person is going for. Another person is liquidating it. To use the money for what? To come and help build a house, do something, advance one cause in the kingdom. Until you understand what men sell, what others are buying. People are buying First Bank shares. Another man is liquidating shares, what millions, to advance the kingdom. Until you understand what makes a man liquidate what another man is buying. You have not understood the message of Christianity. You need to see one of the toughest assignments I handled in recent time was I sat down and God downloaded for me. This is 150 years the gospel came to Igbo land. He came through the river Niger. A man came to me, wealthy man, rich man. He said, he has repented. I gave him a vow. Because when I was preaching, I said, a customer, your customer, somebody left all the shops, came to your shop. Your shop. He left this shop, this other shop, he came to your shop to patronize you. A businessman values his customer. Because you are progressing, that you are doing well, it's because of him. It's because of his patronage. This man came to your shop. What was wrong with him? His headache. What he needed was Panadol. You gave him chalk, yet you collected his money. The people did, hey, I realized that maybe, I don't know the messages we are hearing. Maybe we're no more hearing the message that has a cutting edge. The church needs to put back the message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I said, you killed your customer, the man that will come the next time. You killed him. Because you were so self-driven. You collected his money. If you didn't collect his money and you gave him chalk, you have committed a big crime. But you see, collected his money and killed him. And if you think I was joking, there was a particular family that lost 3 people. All adults. The mother had it, fell, became sick. While I was in the program, they told me that she died. That she was saying, if somebody can get her to me, and I thought by Monday, I'll be able to touch that woman and say some words to encourage her. Her sons, fake injection. And one young man, bright, chubby, came to actually see me. He said, can God still forgive the ones I have done before? And he told me the 3 businesses, all terrible, life destroyed, has made him a millionaire. One particular session I was speaking, one guy ran to me in the pulpit and threw charm in my hands. I think 3 other guys saw him. They didn't have that kind of courage. They came to, I don't know how they located where we were. I came out to take a walk and I saw them there. I said, who are you? Are you people one of those walking with me? He said, no. I said, what are you doing? He said, we knew that is the only way we can see you. I said, what is it? I said, you know, I'm going to talk with you. I'm not just going to pray for you and tell you you are forgiven. Sit down. We have some issues to discuss. Because if you don't get it right, you will go back. If your perception now is just coming to Jesus, you won't last. There is a cross here in the kingdom, my friends. There is a cross. People like us are not here for what somebody will do or what God. If God doesn't heal me, it doesn't affect anything. If I have to be on the wheelchair to be I will still be preaching the gospel. And he knows it, and Satan knows it. Yet there is healing, oh. And I challenge him. I said, the issue itself, the 21st century God, the era now is the era of secular humanism itself. You go to Europe, do you believe in him? He said, no, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. Who do you believe in? Myself. Here, we might not say it like that. We are clear that we believe in God, but in action, it's self that we are worshiping. So when self is your God, you use God to satisfy it. You sacrifice Jesus for that one you really worship. You sacrifice the kingdom. You sacrifice people. You sacrifice everything for it. That's why there is a prayer John the Baptist prayed. We all need to pray today that I might decrease, that he might increase. The degree of your usefulness to God and to his kingdom is the degree to which self has died in you. There is a prayer that we all need to pray. We need to ask God for us to experience self-cancellation. That's what we need in Nigeria. I'm challenging them. All the money you put in the account, you can't even buy the Jeep and drive it. Because your neighbor is waiting for you on the road junction. I said, that is not a society. That is hellfire. We're already in it. If we're going to recreate this society, it has to be a society that is impacted by the nature of Christ. And the nature of God is love. Selfless people or God-like people, do they make profit in business? Yes. You are not permitted to take what belongs to another man till you have given him value in exchange. This is making money legitimately. He is a doctor. I'm a sick person. You give me health. You help me with my neck or my eyes. Then you collect the equivalent in cash for yourself. That is righteousness. But if you become careless with my life and help me go before I should have gone, and you still collect my money, you have committed two crimes. You are not only a murderer, you are also a thief. You see, you can steal with the Bible. You can steal with pen. You can steal with power. The armed robber is using firepower. They are using political power. Do you know a preacher can use Bible power? People paid a price in prayer. People paid on a price for the victory to be achieved. They are the ones God rewards. When the meeting ends, he starts looking into their life. What is the most important thing that she needs? Okay, she needs to marry. He doesn't mind moving all the angels in heaven just to get that lady. When he finishes, he said, what does he need? He needs expansion in his business. Those are the ones. He said, they will have a hundredfold in the life there is. I thank God for you, 150,000 salary. It's good. I also thank God for you, 50,000 naira salary. It's good. I also thank God for you, I pay you 1 million. It's good. 12 million per annum. It's good. It's big. It's something in an environment like this. But I said, there are people who dash their girlfriend 20 million for a weekend. They bring out 15 million and just throw one useless party. There are those who bring out as much as 100 million and throw a party. Yet the earth is what? The Lord's and what? And the fullness thereof. So the question is, where do you want to be? How far do you want to go? It's not the kingdom. When it comes to the kingdom, this thing needs to be taught to God's people. It needs to be taught. Luke chapter 12. Now, I know that when preachers talk on issues of the kingdom, the usual thing is like, you know, to maybe challenge people, like if you serve in the kingdom of God and do one thing or the other. There are a lot of selling at this level, and we're supposed to do that because somebody has died. We are supposed to market the products they died for, the things that belong to the people. But I think Nigeria needs more of kingdom preaching. We need the gospel of the kingdom more in this nation. We have about 60 million people. How many of them are usable? How many of them are usable? How many can God use? The degree to which God will use you is to degree you have experienced self-cancellation. Anytime, if it is the message I'm preaching now, or healing, or anything, I, which is called current, you know, the way they say it in science, they say, I is inversely proportional to resistance. I, that is current, power, it could be anointing, it could be any type of grace, is inversely proportional to resistance. What it means is that if I want the current to go up, resistance has to go down. The higher the resistance, the lower the degree of current that can pass. So for you to have a higher degree of grace flowing through a man, you have to reduce the degree of resistance. That resistance is what the Bible calls self. That I might decrease, that he might increase. The degree to which God can use you is the degree to which self has been crucified. Self-driven people are easily hurt, easily offended. They are so conscious what people think about them. God can't use you much. If you are interested in every opinion, people's opinion, what they say, what they don't, you are useless in the hand of God. You see, there are materials that they best use in making conductors, wires, and so on, like copper. I don't know the kind of wires we have in this building. It's likely to be made of copper or some of these elements, because copper conducts electricity well. There are some others you use in making resistors. Anywhere you don't want power to flow, you put them there. If power comes strong from Kainji Dam, you want it to be reduced, you just put them there. They will reduce the power for you. That's how many of us are. God can do anything. The problem is, your self-life is what is reducing his omnipotence. Anytime you have to make a government policy, make a law in this state, self will be standing here. The interest of the people will be standing here. Each time self is sacrificed, the state gains. I said, this is what is governing every other aspect of life. When self wins in marriage, marriage suffers. Children suffer. When self is sacrificed, family gains. The secret of a successful marriage is not how much you say you love each other, is how much you are willing to die for each other. How much you can take for each other. There is no marriage. If you see those ones that they say they are sweet marriage, good marriages, there are marriages of men who have given up some degree of self. It's not that people don't do those things that other people scatter their families for. Luke chapter 12. Let's begin to tie it up. I think just before I read that, why don't we lift our hands and pray like John, that I might decrease, that I might increase. There is a higher level of anointing that is coming on people, men and women, this morning. This is what we decide, the degree that will rest upon your life. How much of self has gone down? How much of self has gone down? Father, that I might decrease. The man that prayed that prayer, Jesus rated him and said he is the greatest of all the prophets born since the time of Adam. He said that man is greater than Moses, he's greater than John the Baptist, he's greater than Elijah. That man, John the Baptist was his name. That I might decrease, that he might increase. Father, I pray for the miracle of self-cancellation this morning. We know how wonderful the miracle of the new birth is. But the next most important miracle in redemption is self-cancellation, the miracle of death to self. Bring us to that place. It's an experience that everyone we need to have. It's an experience that every one of us we need to have, so that we can become useful in your hands. I offer my heart again. I offer my life again. We will not worry about greed. We will not worry about pride. We will not worry about all the other things, because those things are fruits. Self is the mother, the root. If you can experience death, there is nothing to worry about that is evil. Bring us to that place where your love, where your presence, where your power, where your grace can flow through us without restraint. Luke chapter 12. Let me read that fast, and I want to begin to tie it up. Verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns, build greater. There I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, so thou hast so much laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? For many years I was saved. I was worried about this issue about rich people and going to heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. I really wanted to get that issue sorted out. And once we had Rehan Bonke, God used him to explain. In those days, explain this thing. And I found out, wealth was not the problem. Wealth was not the problem. You can be rich and make it. That's not the problem. And God too doesn't have problem with blessing people. What he has problem with. Verse 21, read it with me. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That's the problem. So for rich man and Lazarus, you can see what the problem was. Not being rich. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because his wealth didn't impact the Lazarus. He's rich to himself, but not rich towards God. Because how do you get rich towards God? Jesus explained it. Verse 22. So he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. For your body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than remnant. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. And he talked about the lilies. I want to go towards the ending. Verse 28, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be thou of a doubtful mind. Take note of that. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that you have need of this. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Read verse 32 with me. One to go. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he says, sell what you have, give alms, provide for yourself bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Two words there I would like to pick out. First, fear not, little children. It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. Second one is, be not of a doubtful mind. Because I have come to realize that those are the two major things that hinder people from going further with God in this walk. On one side, you have the cares, what I will eat, what I will drink, how I'm going to buy my house, how I'm going to buy the car, how I'm going to, you know, all the cares of life. On the other side, you have the fear of the unknown. Some people are afraid to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. They're afraid. They're afraid. The man that hid his talent said, I was afraid. The master said, why? He said, because you are an austere man. You are a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. Come. This is how I like illustration. If you go home with this, you will get it. Just one in the middle. I just want to show you something. This man said, you are a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. The reason I didn't do this is because I was afraid you will rip me off. All this effort is for you. It will not benefit me. If he knew that anything you put in the kingdom comes back, multiplied back for you, if he knew that and actually trusted God's offer, he wouldn't have behaved like that. His impression of God, he takes advantage of me, does what he wants to do, and leave me. He said, you are a hard man. And he said, you are an austere man. So he puts that kind of fear. And when you have not known God beyond that level, you will carry the same fear. But see what happened. The master returns. He turns to this man. He said, how much did I give you? He said, 5 talents. How much did you make extra? 5 other talents. He said, be in charge over 5 cities.
you bought for yourself governance over 5 cities. It didn't waste your effort. What you sowed was money. What you are reaping is dominion, territorial dominion. He said, I gave you 10. You brought 10 others. Be in charge over 10 cities. It was at that moment this guy realized what he did. He didn't harm anybody. His failure to give did not stop the kingdom of God from moving ahead. It's only himself that he hindered. His fear did not cripple God. It did not cripple me. That's operating by faith, that trusted God. It only crippled him. Do you know that the day the revelation of kingdom ownership comes to a church this size, 20 people, you can build a church building. It doesn't require multitudes to accomplish big things in the kingdom. It just requires a few men that have died. A few men. Look how many people accomplish salvation for the whole world. One man. What is the secret? It's not strength. It's self-cancellation. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. Get 100 people like that. You can accomplish the destiny of a ministry. You can accomplish the destinies of families. Everyone says self. I was afraid. I was afraid. That's why some people can't give. They can't advance in the kingdom. You know, this thing. That wisdom, you went to school. That wisdom God gave you. You have used your social capital. Use whatever. Raise that one. Tell God, this is the burden. As they are building this building, this is one I want to carry. It's not how worthy you are. It took 4 lepers to end famine in Israel. 4 lepers. God gave them a breakthrough in one morning that could save a whole nation. The issue that came up when that breakthrough hit was, stay here and keep carrying, because that's what they were doing initially. One said to them, if we keep this thing to ourselves, a major problem will befall us. Kingdom ownership. That's what I wanted to leave this service with. Kingdom ownership. It is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Which we are not teaching, because we have lost the message of the kingdom. We are not teaching it. And that's why we are finding. He said the message is that God, Paul was a Jew, but his commission was to the Gentiles. So God gave him a revelation. He said there is a mystery. Hid from all ages, hid from all the apostles and prophets, but now it's being revealed. 2,000 years ago, this revelation started. That mystery is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews of the gospel. We were aliens. We were foreigners. But we are now joined heirs with every Jewish man. Jesus is not more of a Jewish man than he is a Nigerian. Jesus died for all. He doesn't heal a Jewish man with better compassion than he heals. As a matter of fact, if we even compare people he has healed around the world, he may have healed more people in Nigeria than he has healed in Israel. So I said, I've read that. I know what you're talking about. I know that I quoted for him where it is in Colossians and Ephesians. I said, so what is special about that revelation? He said, the revelation is that kingdom ownership is the secret of harnessing nations. That the gospel is not something you take to people. You own it while you leave them out. Like Peter tried to do. He went to Cornelius' house, who were Gentiles. He didn't want them to receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't want them to receive this. God had to bypass him. The problem is, he had it that didn't belong to the Jews. Not him. Don't let anybody keep you out. It is your Father's goodwill to give you what? Own it. The moment you own it, all the problems and headache you have about the kingdom dissolves. Don't let the pastor own it more than you. It's your Father's house. It's your Father's business. Own it. Own it. Once
kingdom ownership enters your life, you can sacrifice like Peter. You can lay down your life for this thing. The reason is that you are still treating it like you are an austere man, you are a hard man. You are pointing it as if it belongs to some other people, not you. But I want you to know that time is running up. Very soon, it will be clear. And it will first be clear here on earth. Because there is a hundredfold side to this side. Before we get, but even in eternity, it's going to be so clear that you see yourself that you cheated. Others are going to be given cities, nations, and all that. You realize that you rob yourself of your own placement. You thought you were doing somebody else's ministry or somebody else's destiny. I want to ask, when you build a church, for example, in Lagos, who are we going to carry it to? It's in Nigeria that I have seen this understanding is your ministry. Because I have found ministries, they hand it over to somebody and it dies in his hand because he has nothing, the spiritual riches well to drive it. Dry of anointing, dry of revelations, dry of everything. But he thinks he can own it because it's his father's own. Mm-mm. This is no school. This is no business. It doesn't belong to me. The one the white man brought to you, when I die, you give me my own corner of the grave. Translate yourself to kingdom ownership. It changes everything. It's my father's house, and I must have a stake in it. It's my father's kingdom, and it is his good pleasure to give it to me. And when we say give it to you, we are talking about governance. We are talking about governance.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Worshippers, join me as we sing it.
He is Lord.
The angels are singing this song. I'm just following them.
He had risen from the dead. He is the Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
I saw the gates of nations opening, and God's armies, the invisible armies, were overrunning the walls of cities. They were knocking down structures that Satan has set up and giving us nations after nations, cities after cities. And I heard the angels singing. He said, there is no government, there is no opposition, there is no structure of darkness that can withstand the church when we move against it. He said, I said I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not withstand it. He said, go and advance, go with boldness. Don't be afraid, said the Lord. Go with boldness, go with courage. Stay under my government, stay under my authority, and nothing shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Go with courage. Don't be intimidated before your enemies. Don't be terrified before the powers of darkness. I've already made you the victor. I've already made you. Here is the word of the Lord. The government that Adam lost has been restored. The authority that he once functioned with is operational in the church. The authority that Christ functioned with on earth is with the church. You don't need to pray for it, said the Lord. You don't need to fast for it, said the Lord. It's already here. What you need to do is to function in order. And no opposition, no king forces emanating from the dark world will be able to stand before thee. You are the marching army. You are the advancing force. And the gates and the structures of the kingdom of darkness will collapse before you, like they did before the army of Joshua, and like they did before the army of David. Rise up in one accord and be strong and be courageous. For I, the Lord your God, has gone before thee. It is my heart desire that you possess the kingdom. Rise up in this hour. Take up your place. Stay under my government. Stay under my covering, and you will have nothing to fear. You will have nothing to fear, for no one shall harm you, and no one will be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. I've already made subject under your feet all the scorpions and the serpents in this world. None shall be able to hurt you. Thank you, Lord. I see gates of cities. I see ancient principalities that have held certain territories bound, claiming dominion that no one can uproot them. I see them bowing as we march on. I see them bowing as the army of God advances in these last days. I see an advancing force coming from the church in this last hour. A force that not only keeps rank, a force that breaks down every known structure in the kingdom of darkness. A force that possesses. A force that dominates. Is the end time army. Is the end time church. I see this advancing army. I have a part in it. I have declared to myself before God, I have a part in it. I have a part in it. Take your place in God's end time army. Take your place where you belong. For the Lord has taken the command of his own forces in this last hour. The seen and the unseen, the angelic forces and the army that is coming out from the church. The army of the man child that will rule the world with a rod of iron. For the battles are already raging, said the Lord. The battles over the souls of nations, over the souls of communities, over the souls of kindreds and people. Take your place. For I have chosen you and elected you in this hour for this purpose, that I might show myself to the nations. Take your place. I will not fail thee. Take your place, said the Lord.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.